This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome in, everybody. A Wednesday hump day edition of VSiN by the Books. Jensen Lewis alongside the Moose, Mark Malusis, in for Super Dave Ross rest of the week. Super Dave has checked in. He is on the sojourn back to the Kentucky-Tennessee border. I'm sure great weekend and time with friends and family as we celebrated 250 years of these great United States. It has been a celebration, to say the least, Moose, especially with what we've watched in the World Cup and on the diamond. Let's start right there. If you're just waking up with us, thanks for making us a part of your morning. Let's dive in to our highlights and headlines.
Help your bottom line with today's highlights and headlines.
Oh boy, if you saw this game from start to finish, I don't know if there's a better analogy than a roller coaster ride. Egypt led Argentina 2-0 into the 80th minute. And then Argentina, pulling one of the great comebacks in World Cup history, they score three times in the final 10 minutes in stoppage time to absolutely stun the Pharaohs, advancing to the quarterfinal round in one of the great matches of this World Cup. Heck, Moose, maybe in World Cup history, Lionel Messi with the equalizer, and then Argentina go ahead a few minutes into stoppage time. They win it 3-2. We did have a New York bettor that jumped in on Argentina at 25-1 to win in regulation when they were down those two goals in the final 10 minutes. Surreal to see what happened, but Lionel Messi and the defending champions march on. They survive in advance.
Yeah, listen, World Cup always hits. Remarkable. I mean, that's it. I mean, the brilliance of Messi, you know, and, you know, at the later stage of his career, Argentina to rally. They looked lost. I mean, Egypt had that match for the better part of the first 78 minutes. And then in the next 13 minutes, it all comes undone. I mean, it's just remarkable what you see. But, you know, early start down there in Atlanta, it was an absolute blast to watch and give Argentina a ton of credit, the heart of a champion indeed.
Unbelievable. And also unbelievable that it's been 72 years since Switzerland had been to the quarterfinals, but party like it's 1954, people, because the Swiss, they beat the Colombians in penalty kicks, 0-0 in regulation, 0-0 in extra time, and then a couple of airmailed PKs, and that's all she wrote, as Switzerland hits four of their five. They punch their ticket to face Argentina in the quarterfinals. What a scene it was north of the border in Vancouver. Incredible atmosphere that we saw there, and yet again, another round of 16 match that had all the drama you could hope for. The prices are respective of the big four being in here, Moose. Argentina almost a $3 favorite to qualify. Switzerland now plus 230 to try and advance into the semifinal.
Yeah, Switzerland, the team that nobody wants to believe in, but all they keep on doing is playing well. And they played well yesterday once again against Colombia. Tremendous match, different match, because it was one of those where it was an edgier seat because who's going to make the mistake that cost them? You thought that whoever broke through first, that was going to hold up, being 1-0. It ends in penalties. I mean, just remarkable nonetheless. I mean, just great drama throughout the course of it. Colombia obviously kicking themselves after the way the penalties went. And for the Swiss, give them a ton of credit. They handled the pressure as best as they could and a little bit better than the Colombia team. And they march on. And I'll be honest with you, based on what we have seen from Argentina against Cape Verde and what we saw from them yesterday against Egypt, I would not be all that surprised about this Switzerland team. I really wouldn't be, based on how they played and how Argentina has looked.
Going to be fun to watch, man. Cannot wait to see the quarterfinal get underway tomorrow. We needed the off day to kind of catch our breath.
Yeah.
Incredible theater, as we'll be ready for what will be probably as good a quarterfinal round as we've had in some time. Speaking of 72 years to wait for the Swiss to get to the quarterfinals, it's probably felt similarly for Paul Skeens. Entering yesterday, 9 consecutive losses for him taking the mound with the Pirates. Well, they put that to bed in a hurry. How about a 12-4 thrashing of the Atlanta Braves and a historic day for one of his running mates, Ryan O'Hearn? Come on down. Your table is ready. 3 homers, 10 ribbies, Pirates franchise record, 18th player in Major League history to accomplish the feat. But not all good news is the injury front starting to accumulate with some of the stars of the game, particularly with Pittsburgh here, Moose. Connor Griffin, their star shortstop, will miss 8 to 10 weeks with a finger injury. It was just a weird play where it happened, but they're exercising more caution here, knowing that this team is right in the thick of a playoff chase. He will be sorely missed there at top of the lineup, but we will see kind of how it transpires. Also, Byron Buxton, this was expected for the Twins to put him on the injured list with a hip issue. They don't feel it is super serious, but they do want to exercise caution because the Twins, by virtue of a 3-1 win over the Cleveland Guardians yesterday, continue to ascend upwards in the American League Central. We will talk all things AL Central upcoming in our divisional audit later on this show. By the way, Moose, wanted to get your thoughts on a great feel-good story here in Major League Baseball so far this year. No Aaron Judge here with the injury at the end of May, but outside of Judge, it has been the Ben Rice show for the Yankees offense this year. He will be in the Home Run Derby in the Midsummer Classic next week on Monday in Philadelphia, announcing it via his Instagram yesterday. One of the cooler moments, I know you're a dad and you can relate to this, having the father-son playing catch, hitting in the backyard. It's a cool home video of Ben Rice's dad throwing him some BP and kind of doing that pseudo Home Run Derby when they were young. It sounds like they're going to reenact it for real on Monday night in Philadelphia as Ben Rice will have his dad throwing to him in the Home Run Derby.
Yeah, it's awesome. You know, and he hit a home run last night in a Yankee loss down in Tampa against the Rays. He's got 26 on the season, had a cool month of June where he hit 202, I believe. Yankees lineup has not looked the same without Judge, but for Rice, came up and there wasn't the fanfare of Connor Griffin or the fanfare of others when he came up through the farm system that he was going to be this unbelievable player on the major league level. Got a sweet lefty swing. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And what he has developed into and how good of a hitter he has become, I think has been a little bit of a revelation for the New York Yankees. They liked him, but I don't know if they never envisioned him this. But that's awesome. I mean, it really is. It's what makes you kind of love the sport of Major League Baseball, where you have those kind of moments, you know, where, you know, you're doing all this work and the dedication from family members, parents, aunts, uncles to get you to this stage. And that video of him and his dad when he was younger doing a little home run derby, and then you're going to get that down in Philadelphia. It's just awesome. I mean, it gives you all the chills and all the feels, gents. And it really does. As a dad, it really does. I mean, and that's a really, really fun moment. And you're happy for Ben Rice, a really good hitter, really good Yankee, a good guy as well. And that's going to be fun down in Philly to watch him go out there and partake. And hopefully he does well.
Yeah, certainly will. So two confirmed participants right now in the T-Mobile Home Run Derby. Junior Caminero of the Rays, that was the first to commit. Now Ben Rice of the division rival New York Yankees has put his name in officially. We're starting to get some of the big names here late into Wimbledon. The men's draw, we get that semifinal clash we were looking for. It is the big favorite, Jannik Sinner, up against Novak Djokovic. It is probably as decided a favorite as we kind of expected. You got to lay upwards of $4.50 for Jannik Sinner. Djokovic seeing in some of the markets here on the money line, right around plus 342, plus 350, shop around for your best price. Let me start there with you, because I think this is what everyone wanted here, Moose, is to have the two big dogs on one side go head to head. It feels like this has been Jannik Sinner's Wimbledon to lose, knowing no Carlos Alcaraz here due to the injury. Thoughts on where we are here, and will we be locked in tomorrow from the All England Club?
Yeah, I mean, listen, Wimbledon's great. I mean, it is. It's a fantastic event. Sometimes as you go into the fortnight, you get these unbelievable matches, these long rallies. Very similar in nature to sometimes what you see on the hard courts at the U.S. Open and Flushing Meadows later on in the summer. As we transition and get closer and closer to the start of the NFL season through Labor Day weekend. But Wimbledon's awesome. I think it's Sinner's tournament to lose. The betting market obviously leads you to believe that as well. Djokovic is, and Father Time catches up with everybody, gents, and we see it time and time again. Father Time catches up with everybody. It doesn't take away from the brilliance of Joker's career and what he's been able to accomplish. Is he the same player now at this age that he was 4 or 5 years ago? Probably not. No, I mean, he's not. But You know, with all of that experience, he is a wily veteran, and, you know, I'm sure he's going to try and present as stiff of a challenge as he possibly can. It's great to see Coco Gauff go out there and rally once again. I mean, it's just been, you flip it on, you know, whether it be the World Cup, whether it be Wimbledon, you got action throughout the course of the day. It's fun. You see the stars out at the All England Club as well. I don't profess myself to be a great tennis player, Jensen, but I do enjoy watching a little world-class tennis, and that's exactly what you get over in London, England.
I think you could be a ringer on the pickleball court. Don't sell yourself short.
I picked up pickleball. Look at that.
It's the people's sport.
Now I'm on that level.
It's the people's sport outside of college baseball. The big reason, and no shock here, that Sinner was going to be a decided favorite. The reason it's this high, for those that didn't watch, the quarterfinal that Novak Djokovic played against Felix Auger-Aliassime was the longest quarterfinal in Wimbledon history. 5 hours, awesome. 15 minutes for the Joker to survive in advance. So, you know, what will the fatigue look like there? Part of the handicap, if you're going to want to bet that semifinal, the other men's draw semifinal beginning in just about an hour's time here. It's Taylor Fritz, who's a short minus $1.27 favorite. Alexander Zverev is at plus $1.05. I think there's going to be some intrigue with that one. And obviously either of those gentlemen will probably be an underdog against the winner of Sinner and Joker. So we'll have a watchful eye on Wimbledon here later this morning and into tomorrow. And we also have a watchful eye on those NFL training camps. We are counting down to the Hall of Fame game. Next stop, Duval County, Jacksonville, on the clock for us in Daily Gridiron. We'll break them down, and we'll get Mark's thoughts on the wide-open AFC South next when you come back on VSiN by the Books.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge, but what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
All right, our 4th of July special is done, but how about a football special if you missed out? Our VP, our VSiN NFL betting guide, is out officially, and we not only endorse it as good a guide as we have, but how about $175 for a football special price, if I can talk here, people. 32-team breakdown, projected win totals, best bets from all of our experts, and future analysis, as well as power ratings. We encourage you on the football special to get in now, because the sooner you sign up, the more value you get, and you will have full access to everything we do across every sport through the Super Bowl. $175, our football special now at VSiN.com/subscribe. Again, VSIN.com/subscribe. Jensen Lewis alongside the Moose, Mark Melusis. Pleasure to have you along wherever you may be watching and listening. Appreciate you making us a part of your morning. Next up on our countdown to Canton, Ohio for the Hall of Fame game is Duval County. That's where we start today's edition of the Daily Gridiron.
This is the Daily Gridiron.
What a 2025 it was for the Jaguars, an AFC South championship, a breakout campaign at 13-4 under first-year head coach Liam Cohen. James Gladstone, who looks like he should be a Google executive with how young he is, but boy, the boy wonder put together, at least last year, a great team on the field, and Liam Cohen fitting in seamlessly as the head man there with Trevor Lawrence and company. A really outstanding 2025, but now what do you do, Moose, here in 2026? They had a pretty decent offseason here, getting Chris Rodriguez Jr. from the Commanders. Monterrick Brown, a three-year, $33 million re-signing, getting a key secondary piece back in the fold here. They did have a couple of guys depart. Travis Etienne ends up moving on to the Saints, signing a big four-year contract down there. And then Greg Newsome also departing, as well as Devin Lloyd, who went to the Panthers on a three-year, $45 million deal. Okay, the draft, couple of picks early on there in round two and round three, looking to augment the offensive line and do a little bit more work on the interior defensive line. But bottom line, this is about Trevor Lawrence, the evolution of Travis Hunter, and where they sit in maybe a much more competitive AFC South this time around than maybe people realize. Let me get your top line thoughts on the offseason to date here for Jacksonville. And now the change from being the hunters to maybe the hunted here in this AFC South.
Yeah, I thought I think they are. I mean, and it shows you a couple of things. Coaching matters. Cohen was brought over there from Tampa, where he's the offensive coordinator. We saw the drama two off seasons ago, but he finally ended up down in Jacksonville, got the GM he wanted, and Gladstone Balky out down there in Jacksonville. But when you look at it, he was brought in to get the best out of Trevor Lawrence. And Jensen, I think a year ago, you got the best version out of Trevor Lawrence. Off season, I thought it was okay. I think they lost some really productive players. When you look at a Travis Etienne at the running back spot, he's now a member of the New Orleans Saints. What version of Brian Thomas are you going to get this year? Are you going to get the rookie version? Are you going to get the up and down, often injured second year version? I thought, Jacoby Myers had a huge impact on that offense a year ago. Offensive line, I think, is good enough. It'll be interesting to see defensively, the continued growth of their two edge rushers. And but you look at when from a Jacksonville perspective, they're going to be defined by that offense. And I don't think there's any doubt about it. I think the biggest thing you have to be excited about if you're a Jaguar fan is the fact that Lawrence took a massive step forward a year ago. Quarterback, the most important position in the National Football League. You look at the complexion of the AFC South, and obviously you look at Daniel Jones and the Indianapolis Colts, who ruptured his Achilles tendon coming off that injury. You look at the questions at quarterback when you're looking at the Houston Texans, and that's a concern, not defensively, offensively, of where C.J. Stroud is. And if you're going to just base it on quarterbacks, you're going to say, well, I probably trust Lawrence more than anybody else and any other quarterback within that division, right? So you're looking at the Jaguars and you're saying, I like where they're sitting. I like what the tone and the temperament, the accountability that Liam Cohn set year number one, and I'm excited to see what they're going to be year number two. Kind of a daunting task, going to be a strange year down in Jacksonville, the stadium construction. Yeah. I think they can only have 42,000 people at home games down in Jacksonville. they've got two road games. They're playing over in London on a couple of occasions early part of the year. When you're looking at, week five and week six, I think it's a daunting start to the schedule outside of the Cleveland Browns. But I like the direction Jacksonville is going after what was a mess with Urban Meyer, then compounded it with Doug Peterson. I think you've got a really good head coach in Liam Cohen. And I think I love what I saw last year from Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, Shad Khan's home away from home there at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium will be the home for a couple of weeks there for the Jags. And they did him no favors, Moose, with the Eagles there and then a divisional game against the Texans, which could have all kinds of implications in this AFC South race before they get their bye week in week seven. I'm glad you brought up the schedule because that's where I wanted to pivot to you next. A great part of being a VSiN Pro subscriber when you get access to our NFL betting guide, some really key figures week in and week out, some trends that really surface for you. And the first couple of games are where I want to focus with you, particularly week one. And I would not be shocked in many of Survivor contests around the country that the Jaguars are one of the more popular teams as they will host the Cleveland Browns. Now, home teams are 6-3 ATS in the last nine head-to-head matchups between the Jaguars and the Browns. And I wanted to preface by, if you think Jacksonville is a great spot there, you're not wrong, because looking at their next, I guess, third of the schedule to start out the year, we obviously aren't looking to pop them in Denver at Mile High in week two against the Broncos. you're probably not rolling the dice against the Patriots at home. You're certainly not going to want to look at that in Cincinnati. You may be looking at the total in week four in Cincinnati, where the over has hit in four of the last six head-to-head matchups between the Jaguars and the Bengals. And then you have those two international games with Philly and Houston. And hey, you may have that body clock advantage in that second leg of the London tour, if you will, but that's also a divisional clash with Houston. So tough to look at a survivor angle there. Any spots for the Jaguars that you might want to pinpoint to use them in survivor here, Moose? They do have the 13th toughest schedule out of the 32 teams, according to our VSiN NFL betting guide. But it's a question we have talked about throughout the week and from last week. Is there a scheduling spot you'd pinpoint or want to map out right now where you feel the Jaguars would be a decided spot to use them?
Yeah, I think week one's a little bit of a trap game. I'd be a little concerned. I know that you might say, well, that might be their best spot. But, you know, oftentimes we see, as my buddy Alex would say, these tidal wave losses early on in the NFL season, especially when teams are trying to find themselves. And you say, well, they're decidedly better than Cleveland. They should win the game. But the way the training camps are run in today's day and age, really, you know, the first month of the season is a work in progress for these NFL teams. It really is. So you don't exactly see the best quality of football, you know, first three, 4 weeks of the NFL regular season. A little concern there. I mean, clearly that's a spot. I mean, you're not going to use them against Denver, the Patriots, you know, in Cincinnati against the Bengals, or probably the two games over in London. I think a couple spots hit me. And I know it's a division game coming off the bye week 7. Back home against Indianapolis against the Colts. After two straight games in London, then you have the off week, and then you're taking on, for argument's sake, Indianapolis. If they go, say 3-3 their first six games, and then they're coming back home to take on the Indianapolis Colts after a bye week, that would be a spot. I'd look later in the season, you know, for argument's sake, because I have concerns about whether or not Rodgers is going to stay healthy for the entire season for the Pittsburgh Steelers. But I'd also look at week 14 home Monday Night Football against Pittsburgh, to where late in the year, you think, and I don't think this is going to be a 13 win season for Jacksonville by any stretch of the imagination, but those would be two games outside of opening week against Cleveland, week eight against Indy, week 14 against Pittsburgh, both home games, one on a Monday night.
Yeah, that stretch there to finish the season, Texans, Cowboys, Commanders, and Colts, three of those four on the road here. And that leads me to my final question for you. The Texans are plus $1.10 at DraftKings to win the division. Jaguars at plus +245. In your eyes, is that accurately priced as we sit here in the preseason?
I think it's probably a little off. I mean, I have concerns about, after what we saw last year from Jacksonville, do we take a little bit of a step back year two with Liam Cohen? I really do. If you get, you know, if things get answered to the positive when you're looking at it within that division, say for Daniel Jones and the Indianapolis Colts at quarterback, CJ Stroud and the Houston Texans at quarterback, like, Houston to me is really good. The problem is I don't know what you're going to get from Stroud. From Jacksonville here is, I think you saw all the success. Everyone celebrated, loved the messaging from Liam Cohen down there in Jacksonville. But now you got to go out there, and it's easier to make that initial impression. It's a little bit more difficult to make that impression stick. So do we see a little bit of regression from Jacksonville year two?
Yep. Again, they only play one true home game from weeks 4 through 11 to the Everbank Stadium renovation. So that seating will be reduced to about 42,000. You are listening to and watching VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
Off and rolling here on a Wednesday edition of VSiN by the Books. Jensen Lewis alongside the Moose. Mark Belusis in for the rest of the week as Super Dave Ross makes his way back to the Kentucky-Tennessee border. It's been a border battle here in the American League Central, to say the least, and maybe not the usual suspects that we thought at the beginning of this season, Moose. Let's take a look at where the numbers were before we started this 2026 regular season. And by many accord, this should have been the Detroit Tigers division to lose. Right now, it is. They have continued a stretch here, at least into the last couple of weeks, that did not look very good. However, since the calendar turned to June, they have the top win percentage in Major League Baseball right at 600. They have the eighth best batting average at 249. They've hit the most homers at 54. They have the lowest team ERA at 321. They have the second highest OPS and the third highest run scored per game at 5.2. So they were plus $1.10 to win the division at the beginning of the year. They are currently plus 650 and down to plus 600. So 6-1 on DraftKings after they beat the Athletics last night in their series opener. Let me start the conversation there. Where you are on with the Tigers have shown you up to this point, and because we respect the marathon of the season, we'll get to the All-Star break next week, but we are officially past the halfway point as far as games played go. Are we a little bullish on this stretch now? Because it is a month and change that the Tigers have put this sustained run together.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, you know, and you look at it, you wake up when you're looking from a divisional perspective. I think they're 9 games under 500. They're only 6.5 back. You know, you have that AL Central odds board. I mean, look at their win total projected from Fangraphs was 85.5 to begin the year. It's only down to 78. You know, and the projected win total for the Guardians is sitting there at 81. I mean, that's it. So it's not going to take much, right? And then we talked a little bit about it yesterday, Jensen, when we were talking about it, where there are so many teams that are in contention, you know, for a wild card spot in the American League, and Detroit's right there. Now they have, they have basically half the league that they have to jump over. I mean, I think it's like 7 or 8 teams in order to get that top spot, but I think they're only 5 games back. I mean, that's it. So they haven't played well. They haven't lived up to expectations, what you thought they were going to be before the start of the year. Everyone, for the better part, really, since we got to June 1st, Jensen, for the last 5 weeks, is focused in on the Scooble sweepstakes and where's it going to end. Maybe it doesn't go anywhere. Maybe the Tigers say to themselves that, you know, we've got an opportunity here. And if we've got an opportunity to get ourselves into the playoffs, and maybe it's also a scenario where Rob Manfred's dream kind of plays out, where, you know, you have all of these cities, all of these teams in playoff contention, to where you have, a really, really aggressive and overabundant MLB trade deadline. We'll all find out together in our early part of the month of August when the MLB trade deadline does hit. But I give Detroit credit. I think you can easily wake up on a Wednesday and say, convince yourself that what you've seen for the last 5 weeks is real. Detroit's starting to play better baseball. That Scooble's not going to go anywhere. They're going to gamble on getting into the playoffs. And there's nobody in that division that scares you, whether it be the Guardians, whether it be the White Sox, whether it be the Minnesota Twins. And all likelihood, when you look at a team like Minnesota, they're probably going to pair off guys. We talked about it earlier in the show. They just lost Byron Buxton, who expectedly went on the IL. So the Tigers are in a scenario here where, despite the fact of how they've played, everybody else has kept them in the race. And as long as they've stayed in the race, they've started to play better baseball. And as you've mentioned time and time again, Jensen, you know this better than anybody, where a season can change really quickly in a long MLB regular season. And I think you're starting to see the earmarks of that in Detroit.
Well, just remember, this was the team that was up 15.5 games on the Guardians just a year ago and had the biggest historic collapse since we moved to the 3 divisions in each league. And they give up that 15.5 game lead and ultimately lose the division on the final day of the season as the Guardians leapfrog them, only for the Guardians to be beaten by the Tigers in the wild card series. So take that for what it's worth. I am with you. I am with you, though, because Detroit, winners of 3 in a row. They won 7 of their last 10. They're only 5 games out of a wild card spot. They begin play today 6.5 back of the White Sox for the top spot in the American League Central. That's where I wanted to go next, because I think Chicago is going to be in the market as not only a buyer, but Moose, I think they're going to swing big. I think they're going to try and go for a high impact starter. They obviously need a back end bullpen leverage closer type arm. one-stop shop could be the Boston Red Sox. But hey, Boston, now they've won four in a row in eight of their last 10. And here we go again. The Red Sox are just four games out of a playoff spot, even though they're seven games under 500. So I think the American League ends up becoming one of those handicaps where if you look at where the Texas Rangers are, they occupy the final wild card spot as we begin play today. There are eight teams, eight within five games of each other for the final wild card spot. And if you want to include the Cleveland Guardians, who are just a half game ahead of the Rangers in the wild card race, yet the Guardians just one game back of the White Sox. All right, now we're talking about nine teams within five and a half games of each other for the final two wild card spots in the American League. It is absolutely wide open, and that leads us to the Minnesota Twins, and we'll talk some Guardians as well. Those two teams playing each other right now in the Twin Cities. Minnesota takes the opener yesterday, 3-1, very well pitched game. Minnesota a game and a half out of the wild card, but they have crept even closer to the top spot in the American League Central. They are just three games out. Would you want any piece of Derek Shelton's crew at right now, odds of winning the division? They are behind Detroit. They're 7-1. If you had to take one of the longer shots, I might know your answer, but humor me. Sell me on why you would want the Twins at 7-1, and I'll give you a little reinforcement to start your argument. At one point, all right, this is the third highest scoring offense in Major League Baseball. As we enter play today, they are down to seventh, but they've hit the seventh most homers. They've hit the seventh best OPS. Give me a reason why you'd be bullish on Minnesota's chances in the Central.
Well, outside of the offense, I mean, Ryan's a really good starting pitcher. There are things when you look at Minnesota to where you say, okay, well, I think there are outliers there, or I would say there are flags there that say to myself, well, they're going to get better as this season goes along, as long as they go out there and stay healthy. While you're talking about that, Jensen, and the amount of teams that are in contention, you throw Minnesota into the mix, right? And let's just bring up, I wonder what the internal conversations are in terms of, and this is where you have to be real, right? As an organization, you know, what is real, what's not? We talk about sustainability, right? We were having the conversation yesterday, talking about the Miami Marlins. Is this sustainable? Is what we're doing sustainable, right? Can we go out there and keep this up? Or is this just a little bit of a hot streak and then we're going to return, you know, to the mean? I think those are the interesting things to where there's all these teams that are in contention, but do executives in those organizations look at it and say, well, this is an opportunity to where we could trade guys at their peak market value to true contending teams? Or is this a scenario, like you mentioned the Chicago White Sox, and you say, well, I think as an organization, because they've been maligned and beleaguered, that they're going to go out there and swing big. I think those are things as bettors here that you have to take a look at in terms of what organizations say and what organizations eventually do. And so, like, historically speaking, when you look at the Minnesota Twins, who, listen, I have a slanted view because even though they just took 2 or 3 from the New York Yankees before that series, the Yankees were 22-3 the last 25 games against the Minnesota Twins. Anytime the Yankees need to win a series, it happens to be the Minnesota Twins. So could they win this division? Yeah, based on the offense, based on the fact that I do think, listen, they'll get Buxton back. He's an unbelievable outfielder. We know that. He loves being a Minnesota Twin, but he goes on the IL. That was expected to be. There's young players to like on that team to where you think offensively what you think is sustainable. I'm just curious with all like the news about some of the guys they could potentially pair off. And I bring up, you know, the guy that's been on the IL, Ryan Jeffers, their catcher, is that a guy that eventually gets moved and gets paired off by Minnesota because they're looking at it and saying to themselves, we're really not a true contender. It'd be great to make the playoffs, but, you know, we don't necessarily think we're a true contending team in the American League. Let's take advantage of that marketplace and try and strengthen our organization on the whole.
Going to be fun to watch. And oh, by the way, Jose Ramirez on the mend here for the Cleveland Guardians. They do have one of the deepest starting rotations and bullpens, not only in the division, but also looking at where their prognosis is from an offensive standpoint. They have actually treaded water decently, knowing how important Jose Ramirez is not only to them offensively in the middle of the lineup, but his defense that he brings. It has been a gaping hole there with Gabriel Arias at the hot corner. This is a division that feels like year in and year out, Moose, comes down to the final week, yeah, if not the final weekend of the regular season the last decade. We are in for a true three, maybe four team race if Detroit continues to ascend at the rate they have since June 1st. We are nearly ascended to college football season. Week zero is almost here. Not too early to take a look at some Heisman odds. And Tim Murray has a take from his college football betting podcast.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
How does $30 million in guaranteed prizes sound to you? Well, guess what? You can cash in this football season in Las Vegas with three Circa Sports contests. Entries start at $1,000, all with no rake. That means every dollar stays in the prize pool. And of course, you're all familiar with the Circa Survivor. All you do is pick one winner each week. The last one standing wins. One of the gentlemen contests and ladies as well. Best week in, week out contest. Circa Millions. 18 weeks, 128 ways to win. And then if you're one of the high rollers, how about Circa Grandissimo? $100,000 entry point. You have to do it in Nevada, but you can play from anywhere. Again, $30 million guarantee from Derek Stevens and the boys, circasports.com for all the details. Back alongside Mark Melusis, Jensen Lewis here with you. It is a hump day edition of VSiN by the Books, but we are getting ever so close to football season. That means the college football season is on the horizon. That's where we start today's edition of the Daily Docket.
Your snapshot of odds, trends, and futures. This is the Daily Docket.
Well, if not for the World Cup, in the world's edition of football, you can get your fix every single week with one of the great podcasts we have here on the network, the College Football Betting Podcast. Of course, from our great friend and co-host of VSiN Primetime, as well as the VSiN Morning Line, none other than Tim Murray. It has been billed as the year of the quarterback coming into this 2026 season, Moose. And Tim has some great insight mentioning some of the Heisman long shots he may be looking at down the board.
I have been calling it the year of the quarterback. The quarterbacks in this year's college football are going to be phenomenal, at least on paper. Whether, you know, I mean, people listening know, but you know, you start with Arch Manning, Dante Moore, Julian Sayin, Trinidad Chambliss, Josh Hoover, the list goes on and on. So look, you'll probably hear me make a case for a couple of guys further down the list, whether it be a Devin Dampier at Utah. I mean, heck, I'm looking at it right now. You've got Kevin Jennings, a multi-year starter at 74-1 to win the Heisman Trophy. You've got Avery Johnson, a multi-year starter at 80-1. And I'm not saying those guys are going to win it, but you know, it does. I hate the word value, but it does feel like as you look up and down this board, you could really convince yourself on some big name quarterbacks at some big prices right now.
Really good stuff there from Tim. The College Football Betting Podcast. Please like and follow wherever you get your podcasts. Okay, the way too early, as some like to say, Heisman Trophy odds here. Not a surprise at the top with CJ Carr of the Fighting Irish and Notre Dame. Shop around for your best price, seeing a circuit plus 750. He is 7-1 at DraftKings. Arch Manning, of course, with a very loaded and high-octane Texas Longhorn offense at 8-1. Those are your only single digits here, Moose. Then it gets to 10-1 with Dante Moore coming back to Oregon. Sky high expectations for the Ducks out in the Pacific Northwest. Julian Sayin of The Ohio State is around 12-1, 13-1. I wanted to start, though, with the first non-quarterback on this list. And that, of course, is star wide receiver Jeremiah Smith. The lowest number I've seen is 13-1. He is 14-1 here at DraftKings. I think he is absolutely worth a look here, at least as a value play. And many, many times, you know, we've seen quarterbacks end up being the finalists, if not the winners here in the last couple of decades, heck, throughout, you know, the entirety of this award being given out. But this is an elite receiver, man. And I know you got to go back to what Devonta Smith in 2020, the last time a non-quarterback ended up winning this award. But to me, you have the top five team in Ohio State. You're going to have the trigger man. Heck, he's almost level in some markets with Julian Sayin, who's going to be getting him the ball. And I would have to believe, as the true alpha of this roster, his target share will be even higher than it was last year in Ohio State's regular season and run in the college football playoff. Thoughts from you. Is it worth kind of looking to offset what is an extremely deep quarterback laden part of the top of this odds board for the Heisman? Would you want at least a piece of Jeremiah Smith before the season gets underway?
Yeah, I would. I think 12 or 13 to one. The concerns, to lay it out as a better would be that, the Heisman has become, more so a quarterback driven award than anything else. That's number one. Number two is the other concern you have is the fact that his quarterback is right there, even Steven with him at 13 to one. To win the Heisman Trophy, right? The number three then would be, okay, well, what does that target share needs to look like, right? When you go back to it, like what, how many 12, 13 reception games does he have to have, right? And then the other issue is that as ridiculously talented as Jeremiah Smith is, and he's an unbelievable talent, he's going to be great in the National Football League. Every defensive coordinator knows that as well. So if you're Julian saying, are you force feeding him the football, or does it make your offense move a little bit easier given the coverage that's going to be slanted toward Jeremiah Smith's way, to where then you get other guys involved in those offense? Those are the conversations you have to have. There's no doubting the talent. There's no doubting the ability of Jeremiah Smith since he cracked onto the campus out in Columbus, Ohio. It's like a man amongst boys, right? He didn't look like a late teenager when we first saw him. He looks like a guy. He looks like a grown man. But with all that being said, yeah, I think you have to get a fair share, because I think he is, regardless of position, I think he is, right there as being the top player in college football. So if you're getting 13 to one on Jeremiah Smith, I could understand that. Listen, I need to see more from Arch Manning. CJ Carr, I think, out in Notre Dame is an interesting one. I love Trinidad Chambliss down at Ole Miss. I really do. I get a little concerned in terms of Ole Miss. What do they look like this year in the SEC with everything that we saw from a year ago? But Chambliss showed himself to be an elite-level college quarterback a year ago and was a star on the rise during the college football playoffs, and I think we saw that, and I'm interested in looking at that. I think Smith's running mate, Julian Sain, deserves a little bit of love as well. If you go on the idea, I think Ohio State's a top-five team. He's coming off a year in which he had 33 touchdown passes. I think it was 8 interceptions on the season, threw for north of 3,200 passing yards during the course of the season. Completion percentage was right around 70%. I mean, just ridiculous when you're looking at Julian Sain, and he's sitting there 13 to one. And I'm going on the idea that I don't think there's, much of a negative, right? There's a higher ceiling when I'm looking at saying, because I think that offense is going to be really good. Ohio State's going to be really good. They're going to be playing really meaningful games, and that offense goes through the quarterback. So I think there's an argument to be made. I can understand, where you're going to make the argument that it's the year of the quarterback in college football, and contention runs deep when you're looking at this Heisman Trophy race. But clearly, when you look at Jeremiah Smith, deserves a little love if you go into the futures market and say, well, I'm going to get the best player overall in college football. I'm going to get 13 to one. The concern levels, which I orchestrated and ran through before, those are the things that are standing in his way.
All right. So I love to do a little cross board parlay action. I built it while you were giving your explanation. Tommy Fleetwood and Scottie Scheffler to finish top 20, including ties, here at the Genesis Scottish Open, parlayed with Jeremiah Smith to win the Heisman. That gets you to 33 to one, or at least a little north of that. Now that That I could sink my teeth into a little bit, just kind of knowing Lynx Golf here with Tommy Fleetwood, especially across the pond, Scottie Scheffler with what he has done here. That kind of intrigues me a little bit. So again, we like to look at those creative ways to build some value and get a much better ROI, if nothing else, just knowing before the season, if you want to get invested in a non-quarterback, Jeremiah Smith, an easy understanding of why he is that far up the odds board. Two other guys I'm going to throw at you. And of course, replacing Fernando Mendoza at Indiana, the national champions, going to be tough to do. But hey, you get Josh Hoover, one of the great transfers coming over from TCU. That Kurt Cignetti and that crew is a very pass-friendly, balanced attack offense. A classic good player in a good spot at a fair price. I mean, 15 to 1. Obviously, for a team that's going to have sky-high expectations trying to defend the national title.
It is, you know, and maybe they're Indiana fans and easy team to root for. If I wasn't there for the wedding, I'm not going to be there for the funeral. And I'm not telling you that Josh Hoover is going to be a disaster this year for Indiana. I just have a hard time envisioning back-to-back Heisman Trophy winners being Indiana Hoosiers. That's all. I mean, maybe I'm proven wrong, but I need a little bit more than 15-1 in the marketplace, Jensen, to get behind him. And I love what Cignetti has done, world of NIL, and love the way that he holds his team accountable, and they've invested in success and everything, and he's a football lifer. I mean, it's just great. It's the stuff that movies are made of. But, you know, I'd be more interested in Dante Moore. I'd be more interested in Trinidad Chambliss, either of the two Ohio State players, than I would Josh Hoover from Indiana.
I totally get it. I understand. Thank God Wes Reynolds isn't until the end of this program, so he doesn't hear some of that Indiana Hoosier slander from Mark Malusis. No, totally get it. Understand. But boy, it is great to start talking some college football. Week zero will be here before you know it. End of the first half of the Major League regular season will be this Sunday, but some Wednesday leans that we might have next in the Daily Diamond.